graduated at the University of Melbourne in March 2006, not yet 18 and still blighted by pimples and braces. The leafy streets of Parkville shimmered in the heat of an endless summer, and you were half mad with anticipation. You'd finally made it out of sleepy Newcastle and arrived in the Big Smoke, determined to prove yourself and dream large at the nation's self-proclaimed top university. Goodbye, skater boys and Chico rolls on Newcastle Beach. Hello, cafe lattes on Lygon Street, European films at the Nova, and chewing over big ideas with like-minded souls. Art, culture, sophistication, it was all about to begin. These fantasies were soon quashed by a raucous, beer-soaked O-Week at Janet Clark Hall, during which you, too young for the pub crawls, were shunted into the teetotaling Christian crowd. The world of College Crescent revealed itself to be a bewildering kaleidoscope of football jumpers, booze, bad catering, and private school entitlement, where the fellow residents were more interested in McLeod's daughters than discussing the meaning of life. Over on campus, in shoots high up in the John Medley building, you were frequently the only person who'd done the reading and had to restrain yourself from breaking the silence every single time the tutor asked a question. Needless to say, you did not make many friends. But still, your brain exploded from learning about Pascal's wager, the Bandung conference, and Picasso's cubism. You spent delirious hours highlighting course readers on South Lawn, drunk on sun, caffeine and ideas. And you sweated for weeks over your first assignment, a paltry 1,000-word essay on the idea of Europe, and were astounded by your good grade. By mid-year, you were limp with anemia from eating nutritionally dubious college meals, but that didn't stop you running endless laps around Princess Park, forever getting overtaken by beefy college boys sweating off their hangovers. That October, you ran your first half marathon, dragging your scrawny frame from Ricketts Point all the way to the city, before heading back to Parkville to write more essays. And Melbourne Uni might not have been as glamorous as you expected, but the hard work sure paid off. You were right to think that the university was the place for you, because you still spend your days inside one. Only these days it's La Trobe, up in Bundoora, where there's little sandstone, but an abundance of trees, diversity, and, as the slogan goes, all kinds of clever. You still love to chew over big ideas in the tutorial room, only now you're on the other side of the table. In retrospect, those undergraduate days of disciplining the mind and body were, in many ways, a means to avoid the elephant in the room, your gender. Or more precisely, the fact that you weren't, despite appearances, a woman at all. By turning yourself into a brain on a stick, and for many years a literal stick, you could conveniently forget the fact that you had a vagina, and were hence expected by the world to embody femaleness, a notion that felt so uncomfortable, so deeply wrong that it didn't bear thinking about. But don't worry, you won't stay Anne forever. Within a decade or so, you'll become Eve. That's Y-V-E-S, the French masculine version, a name you will choose precisely because it can contain an ambiguous flitting between genders, neither male nor female, the gender that finally feels like home. As Eve, Dr. Eve, in fact, you'll still be a regular at Melbourne Uni, only now you'll know to steer clear of College Crescent during O-Week, and to always, always remember that universities can be a place for the body, in all its messiness and complexity, as well as a paradise for the brain. With love, from Eve.